So this morning I'm just going to talk a little bit about what we've learned from our soybean yield contest. And I think as scientists, agronomists, and even some producers, when we think of the yield contest, we think that we get to have a lot of fun, right? We get to throw extra inputs on and just see how high our yield can go, right? So it's more of a game than necessarily a production system. But in terms of Kentucky, I do oversee this contest now. This is my second year overseeing it. I've been at the University of Kentucky for 2 years. And a lot of our fields that are entered into our yield contest are actually just production fields. And the producer goes out and does their normal agronomic practices that are highly profitable in good years, right? And they notice that they have really good yields, and so they'll call the extension agent or whoever oversees at the local level, and they'll enter it into the contest. We probably have about 25 to 30% of our producers that actually have yield production fields, and so they do year in and year out, have very high input systems. But overall, we've been able to glean some really good information. My predecessor was Jim Herbeck, and this is mostly his data. So in terms of the yield contest, just a little background. For Kentucky, it is sponsored. We do have monetary awards every year for our highest producing entries and also a yield quality entry. And we solicit these financial support from local vendors and industries to support that. And, you know, as scientists, we can't help ourselves. We do have objectives, okay? And the first objective is to recognize those producers, okay, that have the highest soybean yields and superior quality. Today I'm just going to talk about the yield aspect. So this is just a photograph of our last year's state champion. It was really interesting. They'd never entered ever before into the contest. And this was not a yield production entry, okay? They did not know they were going to enter. They got into the field. They started cutting the beans. They had high yields. And they said, well, I'll call our county extension agent. We might have some decent yields for the contest. And so when I called him, he goes, who is this and what are you calling me about? He had no clue what I was talking about at first. He'd forgotten he entered. And so he was totally amazed that he had won, number one. And number two, you can see that it was an extended family that came up and accepted the award. The older gentleman was the landowner. And I think they said it was his their cousin or uncle, I can't remember. And they said, we want him there and we want him to be listed as the person that won and not us, they said, because he has always been on the cutting edge of all of our production system. He's listened to all the university recommendations, tried to stay cutting edge, and was the first, one of the first no-till producers in our county. And they said, he inspires us, so he has to be involved. And so for me, as the specialist that contacts these people, it's really fun to hear these stories. And especially in this case, because they had no clue that they were going to win. You know, this was not a field that they usually enter. The second objective is to go ahead and document those practices. You know, for us as scientists, we want to know how they got such high yields. And the producers in our state and surrounding states as well want to know what they've done to achieve these high yields. To this point, we have not had 100 bushel being documented in Kentucky. We've gotten very close. Last year we got 98. A couple years ago we got 99. So we're flirting with that level, but we haven't quite made it yet. So our yield contest started in 1980. Okay? So we've had several years of data that we can look at this. And let me see if I can get this pointer to work. We started out at about 20 bushels as our state average. Okay? Now we're up to about 40 or 50. I think USDA is estimating around 50 this year, which is pretty high because we lump in full season and double crop soybeans for Kentucky, and we have quite a bit of double crop beans. In terms of the contest entries, I don't know if I can get this pointer to work very well. We have remained quite a bit higher than the state average and, of course, the state champion as well. And over the course of these 35 years, our state average has increased in yield about twofold. We haven't seen quite as much increase in our contest average, But we've almost got the twofold for our state champions, okay? So we're staying right on about our state average. So in terms of what we've learned from this contest, even as recently, I guess, as 5 or 10 years ago, our recommended planning date window was from early to mid-May to mid-June, okay? And that's this blue box. My predecessor noticed that the state champion, first, second place, they were planning earlier than that. They were planning in April, okay? So he thought, well, you know, we did do a lot of research 15 or 20 years ago to derive these recommended planning dates, but he was wondering if environmental conditions, varieties, inputs, just whatnot, maybe needed a revision of the planning date. So when we look at the percentage, that's what this purple line is, the percentage of entries in the contest that were planted in April, you can see it started steadily increasing in the early 2000s. Now, we all know that there's going to be seasonal fluctuations, right? There's going to be certain years, it's going to be too wet, too cold to get in, others. But he was starting to see this very strong trend. And so what he did is he went to our promotion board and said, you know, I'd really like to look at this. And so he said, I really think something's going on here, and I'd like to do a planning date study. And so he got funded for 4 years, okay? So from 2008 to 2011. And he was lucky in that he did get the range of possible scenarios, okay? He had hot and dry weather 1 year. He had cool and wet. And then, can we say normal anymore? But it was a more normal weather pattern. Except for, because there's always an exception, April had over 11 inches of rain, which is unheard of in Kentucky. So it was more normal-ish. He had 7 planting dates starting in mid-April and went to early July, which isn't uncommon for our double crop soybean to be planted in early July. He did also want to look at two maturity groups, because in Kentucky, we usually grow mid-fours. But there is an interest in early twos and or late twos and then early fives as well. So he went ahead and did the early twos. Well, apparently I didn't proofread this. There's not units, but this is going to be 2,000 seed per acre. Okay, so he really bumped up the seeding rate. Okay. I said, wow, that was a really high seeding rate. Why did you do that? He said, because it's a planting date study, Carrie. It's not a seeding rate study. He said, if I'm planting early, I'm planting late. I want to make sure I have the final plant stands that I want. So I just really increased those seeding rates. He collected yield, emergence, and final plant populations. And so what he found was over the course of the 4 years when he averaged that data, that the highest yields came from the mid-April to the early to mid-May group, okay? So that was 2 weeks earlier than what we had previously recommended, okay, without any yield penalty. We start looking into where we had been recommended into, you know, mid-June, and we were seeing 20 to 25% yield decreases. That were significant, okay? These were statistically significant. And so this was for the mid-fours. For the late twos, we saw the same trend. And this was across the 4 years, very different weather conditions. And so, you know, based upon the yield entries and this scientific information, I mean, he felt really good, and he and Chad ended up changing the planting date recommendations. In terms of the time for plant emergence, as we would expect, the early April plantings, it took a lot longer for those to come out of the ground. Okay, and for our producers, you know, they get very uncomfortable when it takes that long for their soybeans to come out of the ground. But it's just early cool conditions. The final plant populations, again, increased with later planting dates. And so that's what he found. There were also some additional considerations in terms of insects with earlier plantings could be a little bit more of a problem. In Kentucky, we do have fields with sudden death, and so our recommendation is to absolutely avoid our SDS fields if you're going to do any sort of early planting. And knowing that field history is critical in terms of planting date. High-quality seed, not all of our producers at that time were using the best quality. I think most of them are now, and maybe some fungicide seed treatments as well. And of course, increasing seeding rates just a little bit. So actually, in conclusion, did I beat the timer? I am shocked. I never do that. So in terms of what we've learned a lot in Kentucky based upon our yield contest, which is surprising. You know, I say it's surprising. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But, you know, you think of these contests as really excessive in terms of input and what the producers do. And that's not necessarily the case in Kentucky. A lot of our fields are just really well-managed fields that are entered. So at this point, what we've learned is that we've made our planting date recommendations earlier in Kentucky. So now we're saying late April to mid-May is when we need to be planting our soybeans. And according to Jim's calculations, if all producers do that, it would be a significant revenue for our producers. So. Wow, I can't believe I'm early. Any questions?
We have plenty of time for questions. If anyone, this was surprising to me.
I'm shocked. Sorry.
Do we have any questions?
Did you change the recommendation for population on the really early?
We just told them to consider higher rates. Yeah. Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Not to 200,000 or anything, but a little bit. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So my question is, the percentage of the increase, the seeding rate, than the regular, is it 10% more, 20% more, or just?
Could you repeat the question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to repeat the question. This question is, what is the increase in seeding rate with early planting dates? And usually we go 10 to 20%. It depends on the producer. Yeah. Typically, yes, it's still typically going to be economical for them, yeah.
I have a question. In your double crop production, I'm assuming your planting date study was just conventional settings. I've seemed to find that things are different when there's wheat growing and not. Have you done any work with the actual double crop on planting date?
So the question is if we've done any work on planting date with double crop. There has been some work done at the university. It's, you know, it just all depends on when the wheat comes off. So, yeah, we know that as the time goes on, the yields are going to be impacted, especially if it's a dry year with wheat that can be very problematic with stands and final plant populations. So we do recommend increased, quite a bit higher seeding rates for double crop than we do full season.
We have time for another question. Does anyone else have one? One in five.
I'm just wondering how confident you are when you're asking growers to give information on their fertilizer rates, chemical inputs. How confident are you in that, and are you able to use that data?
The question is, how confident are we that the producers are supplying correct information on these entry forms? I think for the most part, the majority of producers are honest. I really do. I'm not going to say 100% are, but I would say the majority of the producers do tell us what they have done. And so even if they're not and they start writing down what they did and they're like, oh, that's kind of embarrassing or that's too high, I'm just going to cut it back. We can still see trends, I think, because most of them are pretty honest. They're not telling us this information. Myself as the state specialist, they're telling this to their local county agent. So they have really good relationships with these people. And sometimes the agents say, I know that that guy probably did this because that's what he does. And, you know, so he'll ask the guy and say, no, seriously, did you do this? So I think we get pretty good information, at least for our state.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.